You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Greg Bedard Patriots Podcast with Nick Cavins.
He's Greg. I'm Nick. You know the spiel. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. And Factor Meals, where every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. Head to factormeals.com/Bedard50. Again, it's Bedard50 to get 50% off. All right, Greg, some small news just happened for the Patriots, and that is one Alex Austin. He will be back 1 year, minimum deal. Just kind of your thoughts about Austin returning and what you might have seen from him late in the season a year ago.
Yeah, so Austin was an exclusive rights free agent, and the way that works is unless you're a complete disaster, the team brings you back. So it's not a surprise that he's back. It's not an indication of anything. You know, I will say that Austin did a nice job towards the end of the season. He did not start off well when he got to the team. He's at the moment, he's a good depth piece. Perhaps he could develop into more. But I think, you know, like I said, exclusive rights free agent, unless you show that you are completely horrible and can't play in the league, they bring you back at least for training camp and then go from there.
All right. Speaking of corner, there was a report yesterday that the Patriots were interested in L'Jarius Sneed, obviously number one corner for the Chiefs. I know Mark Daniels of Mass Live came out and said it was more due diligence than serious interest. And it made it sound like it was because of draft compensation, that the draft compensation might have been a little bit too steep. What I've got to ask you, Greg, is if you've got somebody like Sneed out there, if you're Elliott Wolf, would you be willing to pay the pick and the money to bring a guy in if you thought that he could be that much of a difference maker in that secondary with Gonzalez?
My short answer is no, not both. Now, if Sneed was a free agent or something like that, then okay, that's just money that you're paying. I think I heard Andrew Callahan on TV last night say a second or third round pick. I would find that very surprising if it's just that. I'm sure they're looking for a first round pick. They should be looking for a first round pick. I was just trying to look back to what Jalen Ramsey got when he was traded from the Jaguars. So the Jaguars traded Jalen Ramsey to the Rams in exchange for 3 draft picks, 2 in the first round. Now, you could make the argument that Jalen Ramsey at that time was better than Sneed. You could make that argument, but this is a cornerback that's in his prime, who's coming off a great season. He's a no doubt number one cornerback. So I would not pay that freight on both. Like I said, if it was free agency or just money, okay, I would think about it. But both, where the Patriots are right now, no, it's not something I would be interested in.
Totally agree. With as many holes as they have, to give up picks and money, just too much. You're not in the position to make that kind of move, at least not in my eyes and not in Greg's eyes. All right, so let's keep up with the cornerback, because you said, hey, look, picks and money, not so much. But if a free agent, I'd look into it. Tre'Davious White, cut by Buffalo. You in or out on the idea of Elliott Wolf picking up the phone and giving him a call?
For a lot of these guys, I'm going to say, and we talked about this last pod as far as the Patriots' quote-unquote interest, I'm definitely doing my due diligence on Tre'Davious White. A lot of injury histories. When he's right, you know, he's really good. I will say in his time in Buffalo, he's been more of a zone cornerback, which doesn't really appeal to me the way the Patriots are running. Again, we don't know what kind of scheme they're going to be running, how they're going to alter things. But I would definitely kick the tires, and depending on the deal, how much protection. Yeah, I could be interested in that.
Let's stay in the secondary, my man. Justin Simmons, released by the Denver Broncos earlier today. Elliot Wolf, should he get on the phone?
Wow, I missed that. I did not hear about that. Yes, I would be on the phone. I would be in on Justin Simmons. To me, he is the prototypical middle-of-the-field safety that you're looking for. Maybe not quite as Devin McCourty's high-end speed, but he's a tremendous player. Probably didn't play up to his contract the past couple of years, but I could see him in this scheme, getting back to that level. So, yeah, that would be somebody that I would be in on.
And he's just the last name, Greg, at safety. We talked about this with the Duggar stuff. You've got Simmons now cut, McKinney not getting tagged by the Giants, guys like Byard and Diggs. Last check, there's roughly 88 free agent safeties on the market right now. If you were Kyle Duggar, are you signing the transition tag today and saying, okay, I was wrong, I'll just sign that and just take the one-year deal at 13.8?
Depending on where they are on contract extension negotiations, two things. Number one, I would take pretty much anything that they have on the table. If they really, and Tony Pauline reported this, if the Patriots offered Kyle Duggar an extension at $13 million per year, which is just a smidge less than this transition tag, if I'm Kyle, I'm running to sign it because, like you said, there are guys all over the street. I don't know if things are going to get better. It looks like the safety position is starting to transition into something where teams look at it and say, they're not worth the money. Look at Jamal Adams in Seattle, another guy who's on the street now. How much impact do they really have? Basically, you could make the argument that safeties are now the running backs of defense, where they're being devalued. If I'm Duggar, I'm agreeing to the contract extension, and or if that's not an avenue, then I'm signing the transition tag because I think your point is 100% correct. He is going to be undercutting his market if he continues on sort of holding out for top of the line money.
And what's really interesting here, Greg, is that we know Duggar changed agents recently, and you just have to wonder is this, he's working with an agent, from what I understand, you can correct me if I'm wrong, has worked on deals with the Patriots, with prior guys, the McCourties, I believe, Jonathan Jones, I believe, is another defensive secondary guy represented by the agency. Your best guess, is this Kyle Duggar possibly being a bit delusional about his own value, or could he be just getting bad advice? Because it seems like we were all talking about this safety market being depressed. How does he not know that was going to be the case?
Right. Andy Sims is the agent, and I have a great deal of respect for Andy, a guy that I've known for years. He's done a lot of really good work for his clients. I'll go back to sort of our conversation last week when we talked about Duggar and the transition tag, is that my fear in all of this was that Kyle Duggar was going to shoot for the stars because he was an older rookie. He's going to be 28 in the first year of his new deal. It's probably in looking from the safety market, this is the only deal that he's going to get in terms of big time change the course of your family sort of enrichment. And so my fear, and this is the way it often works with players and agents, the agents give their advice, but they have to, it's basically at the discretion of the player. And my fear is that Kyle Duggar, who hasn't been through this before, is shooting for the stars in terms of his contract extension, knowing this is probably his only bite at the apple. And to me, I think that's not the right direction to go. And hopefully soon here, Andy is able to convince Kyle Duggar what's in his best interest. And to me, that's taking any contract extension offer that's on the table for the Patriots. If you want to, maybe you take a few less years. Maybe it's 2 years with some voids tacked on, or 3 years to get yourself, all right, maybe when I'm 30, I have another chance. Okay, I could see that argument. But to me, I think Kyle Duggar being 28 this year, this is it for him. So get what you're going to get and get out.
Fantastic point. I was going to bring it up. He was an older rookie when he was drafted into the league. you don't want to kick the can down the road for a year by taking the transition tag. Like, it's bad. You're just going to be a year older. Safety is not going to be any more valuable next year than it is this year. And he's closer to Jamal Adams than, you know, a Justin Simmons, much closer. He's an in-the-box guy. So he's got a limited role. He's a hybrid kind of guy. So just stick with the defense that you know, the coaching staff that you know. They offered you a very fair deal, maybe a tick above what you should have been offered. Just take the deal, Kyle. You're not going to get the payday that you wanted, my man. You're just not going to.
One thing that complicates it for these guys, and especially like the guys you mentioned, Kyle Duggar, Jamal Adams, and even Jabril Peppers, these in-the-box safeties, what they also have to consider, and if I was his agent, I'd be telling him this, is that, like, you know, look, not only are you competing against safeties, like safeties that can play in the box, but you're competing against linebackers, lighter linebackers, who can play some strong safety, and also look at what's going on at the college game. The college game no longer has linebackers that are 6 foot. There's no Brandon Spikes in college football anymore.
Right.
6'3", 260 pounds. They're all 6 foot, 6'1", 220 pounds, which is what Kyle Duggar is. So not only are you competing against the safeties, but you're competing against these linebacker hybrids that all play the same spot when it comes to the National Football League.
We talk about market, Greg. We talk about depressed market. There have been reports that the Patriots are at least interested in Saquon Barkley. A lot of running backs out there. You got Barkley, you got Josh Jacobs, just a bunch of dudes. Tony Pollard. Would you take advantage of that market if you were the Patriots? You've got Stevenson, but would you want to go out there and maybe get another name that has top talent for that position and is in probably a tough spot to make a ton of money?
Yeah, this would be a position that I would have to, it would have to be price correct. You know, Saquon Barkley in a vacuum, yeah, I'm interested in. Plus, I think you're getting him coming back into his prime after, you know, the ACL, you know, a couple of years out from that. Like, he could really pop. My issue with the Patriots and this kind of contract, if it's too much money, you know, how does that affect Ramondre Stevenson? I'm just looking at his contract. They should be able to, yeah, they can sign him to an extension now. To me, it would have to be a case, and this is where I think Bill Belichick was good to a certain extent about worrying about contracts and the locker room and how it affects things. You know, if you bring in a Saquon Barkley or even a Josh Jacobs and say you get them at $7 million per year, you need to, just about at the same time, Ramondre Stevenson needs a contract extension at the same level, or else you're going to have issues. Here's the other thing with the Patriots and running backs, and I'm not opposed to this. And again, if the market gets depressed and you can get one of these guys, okay, I'm all for it. One thing you have to keep in mind, as somebody pointed out to me, and this was Mike McCarthy when I talked to him about the guys who used to work with him in Green Bay, he said that Alonzo Highsmith was the best running back evaluator he's ever been around. And that was the position he played in college, in the NFL, until injuries got the best of him. When I covered the Packers, they seemed to always find these guys in later rounds, second rounds. They all hit. Ryan Grant, who they picked off, like, he came from the Giants. Ryan Grant was a great running back for them. I see the Patriots as more of a team. Hey, let Alonzo pick some guy in the draft. Let Alonzo find some guy who's withering away on somebody's bench and do it that way, rather than spending, you know, big money on a veteran running back.
Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, other running backs that were mid to late round picks in Green Bay when Highsmith was there.
Brandon Jackson, guys that I covered, you know, when they were winning Super Bowls. Like, you know, they found Vernon Morency, who was a really good back for them, on somebody's bench. Like, the Packers, when I covered the team in the mid 2000s, like, it was just, they had a factory of these guys that didn't spend a lot of money. And once they did, they let them go and just draft and develop or pick up off other teams. That's sort of the Packer way.
Mentioned the running back market, how it would affect Ramondre Stevenson. Reminds me of the conversation we had earlier this week on the pod about Christian Wilkins and you know, Christian Barmore. And if you're going to go out there and sign somebody, even like a Chris Jones, it sounds great to pay, you know, Chris Jones $27 million a year if he hits the market. But now Christian Barmore is going to be in the corner of the locker room going, hey, hey, how, did you see me the last 2 months of the season for a four-win team? Mm-hmm. Time to pay daddy. And I want to ask you this. Do you think Jerod Mayo appreciates that part of it and understands that part of it because, A, he's a former player, and he was a very good player, so he knows how players think, and, B, because he did sit and watch Belichick handle those kinds of things over his five-year tenure as an assistant?
Yeah, what's interesting is that Jerod Mayo, when he was here, he was always Belichick's contract boy. Like, they were every year, like, they were doing stuff with his contract because he would play ball with the team and they would do right by him and he would help their cap situation. So that's definitely one aspect of the Jerod Mayo situation. I have to think, given how smart Jerod is, not to sound like the Crafts or other people bringing up Optum, he's been in the business world. I do think that Jerod Mayo sees it similar to Bill Belichick. I think he would be one who, you know, if Elliot Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith and Matt Groh said, let's go sign this guy, I think I'm hopeful that Jerod Mayo would be the first guy to be like, yeah, well, what's that going to do to Stevenson? What's that going to do to Barmore? Like, are you guys ready to pay the piper for those guys? Like, I could see the Patriots would look really good and really proactive if they're signing these guys and then they're announcing contract extensions for all these other guys. To me, that would be the best of both worlds where you're like, all right, these guys got their stuff together. I like what they're doing here. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Stephen Curry for more than 29 points, Caitlin Clark for more than 30 points. Yeah, you can cross streams, cross sports, all that stuff. LeBron James, more than 7 assists. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Make sure you use promo code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Let's have a little bit of a free agency primer for the people, Greg. As we get ready, legal tampering begins on Monday. I'm excited. You're excited. Everybody is excited. Let's start with their own. The guys that are on the roster from last year, they walk into free agency. Who do you think could quickly return? Who could quickly be retained here on this team?
If I'm Elliot Wolf, if I'm running the Patriots front office, I'm the GM, I am locking up immediately. It would be my priority on day one, while other people like Alonzo Highsmith and Pat Stewart and other people are working on outside free agents. I am announcing Mike Owenu returns on a big contract. Hunter Henry's back on a couple-year deal. Pharaoh Brown is back. Anthony Jennings, Mac Wilson, and Miles Bryant. To me, those are all good football players of varying degrees. Teams that players that can help you and add to the core, be part of the core in this transition, that are really good professionals that do their job, that have done things the right way since they've been with the Patriots. And to me, that sets a tone for your program going forward. So those guys are my priority very quickly. I'm not dicking around and waiting for other offers and things like that. I'm saying, here you go. We want you back. Let's do this.
I'm mostly on the same page with you with those names. The Owenu thing, though, gets a little tricky, and I talked about this on my podcast today. I kind of have an evolving opinion with Owenu after I heard Mike Giardi say on NBC Sports Boston the other night that he wants to play guard, and Mike knows, Giardi knows that Owenu wants to play guard. If Big Mike thinks he's going to get, you know, 18, 19 million playing guard, I'm out. Like, I love you, Big Mike, but I'm out. I'm not going to give you that kind of cash. If we're talking 14, 15 million, I don't have a problem paying him near the top of the market for a guard. But that's the one thing we've got to know. Like, what's Big Mike thinking? Is he thinking you're going to pay me 18, 19 million to play right guard where I want to play? Then you might have a little bit of an issue. All right, let's look at who you would wait on. The guys that were on your team last year that you don't really feel that same kind of urgency, Greg.
Kendrick Bourne. I love Kendrick. He's coming off the ACL. Let's see what kind of money he wants. But, you know, really, you know, hopefully I'm being active in free agency. I have popped Douglas. I'm hoping to get rid of Devontae Parker and or Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't know if Juju's going to be on the out. But outside of that, I'm swinging big in free agency for a wide receiver, somebody that's young, like a Calvin Ridley that can be here for a while and be part of the buildup. And then I'm peppering the draft with wide receivers. And like Elliot Wolf said, playing young players is going to be something that they do. So Kendrick Bourne is in his 31 at this point, coming off an ACL. Love Kendrick, would love to have him back, but I'm waiting on him. Jalen Reagor, gone. Trent Brown, gone. No thank you. Riley Reiff, happy retirement. Mike Gesicki, no way. Ezekiel Elliott, really good player here. You know, if I'm him, I'm going to a team that's a little bit closer to winning, maybe even back to Dallas. Josh Uche, I'm hoping to work the compensatory pick formula where somebody signs him big and I get back a future, you know, fourth round pick in a year or so. Cody Davis on special teams. Sorry, we're de-emphasizing that. And Jalen Mills, you know, we'll see. Maybe I'm not opposed. He, you know, he covers you at cornerback and safety if you have issues. But again, my focus is on the future and getting this team younger and playing younger guys. And Jalen Mills right now doesn't fit that bill.
If Josh Uche walks, my Tookus is going to be very chafed because you had the opportunity to trade him at the trading deadline and you didn't. Yes. And you're going to sign guys, you're going to spend money. So the compensatory formula is very unlikely going to cash in a pick for you for Uche walking. And that was my main beef during that trading deadline during the season last year. I don't know how you hold on to Uche. Even if it's a fifth round pick, that's more than you're getting if he walks. Yep. So I will be chafed. All right, quarterback position. What do you do?
This is very interesting, Nick, and I'll be interested to get your opinion. You know, we're going to talk about a little bit more about the draft evaluations. I've watched a lot more film on these guys in a little bit. I have a lot of concerns about the draft quarterbacks and when they're going to be ready. If I am the Patriots, I'm developing on a dual track. I am swinging big at quarterback. Kirk Cousins probably knows where he's going to go. It's probably going to be Atlanta or back to Minnesota or something like that. I'm swinging big on Baker Mayfield. I'm trying to get him as a 2-3 year starter. And then I'm letting the draft process play out after that. If I want Drake May at 3, okay, but he might have to sit for a year or two. I have Baker. I'm reticent just to go the Jacoby Brissett route. I would rather go my ideal, Nick, Baker, Jacoby, draft a quarterback somewhere, whether that's Drake May or J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix or whoever. That's what I'm doing, and then I'm letting it play out, and we'll see how the situation goes. Hopefully you can construct the Mayfield contract that doesn't make it too punitive to move on from him. I would probably do something like basically a 2-year deal with voidable years to see how things go. And if I got to pay a premium on that, that's okay. You spread the cap hit out over 5 years. You can deal with it. And with the cap growing every year, you can deal with the dead cap hit down the line, as we've seen with the Broncos and Russell Wilson. But yeah, I think I am looking to swing big. I think you lock up Jacoby Brissett immediately just to make sure that you have a guy that you trust. But I'm going for Baker just to see what happens.
I am not going after Baker if I'm drafting somebody at 3. I'm not going to do it. If I love May and Daniels enough, I'm not going to spend the chunk of money it's going to take me to bring in Baker if I'm looking at one of those guys as my future of the franchise, even if it takes me a year. If I got to sit a guy a year, I don't have a problem sitting a guy a year. I know some people do, and they say, oh, if you draft a guy at 3, you got to play him right away. I'm not of that thought. Like, if you think he's the answer for the next 15 to 17 years, what's 1 year? Let him get seasoned, If it's Drake May, for example, and the footwork is all over the place, work with him for a year, you know, put him under the tree of Alex Van Pelt. And then in 2025, let's see all of that come to fruition. Now, if you're not drafting a guy at three, then that's when I would look at Baker. And I'd say, and people might fight back and say, oh, what's it going to get you? 9-10 wins? Well, you have no idea who your next quarterback is and how long that's going to take you to get that guy. So you might have to wait 3 years until you get another swing at a quarterback that is a legitimate starting NFL quarterback. So winning 10 games for the next 2 or 3 years while you continue to hammer the draft and develop that talent. So then maybe if you got to wave goodbye to Baker in 2 or 3 years and then you supplant him with that dude who's the young franchise quarterback, at that point, you have the rest of your team starting to develop, which allows you to move picks in that given year or in future years. So if it's a 2026 draft, now you don't feel like you're screwing yourself over by dealing the first round pick, swapping picks, you know, in that first year, and then maybe you have to give up an additional first round pick in the future. Well, now you've had a couple of years to build up the cupboard and fill it up with young talent. So I don't have an issue with it, but if you're drafting somebody at three, I'm not touching Baker. I'm not spending $35 million on Baker and spending the third pick on a quarterback. I would not do that.
I just think that for me, like, I just think there's so much uncertainty about the draft and what you might get for number three. If your intention is to trade down and you say you're fine, you have questions about Drake May, which I do, which we'll get into, that, you know, maybe we get one of the secondary guys, but we want to keep our options open. Here's my other idea, and I'm curious what you think about it. First of all, I'm not in on Russell Wilson. I think he's fine. Too much of an ego at this point. When I saw him on film, he was cashed. You know, he might be able to be a bridge guy, and it's cheap and whatnot. I don't know. I just don't want to do that. Sort of a different path for me would be, look, Washington's probably going to get a quarterback. They could hang on to Sam Howell, and that's probably what they're going to do. But I liked what I saw out of Howell last year on sort of a lesser team, some coaching issues. And to me, when I see Sam Howell, I see Baker Mayfield. Now, different evaluations. Baker Mayfield went number one. Howell went, I think, in the fifth round. But, you know, if you have designs on Drake May, Howell and May know each other. May backed up Howell his first year at UNC. And I just see, I really like the athletic work. I think that Howell's a type of leader. I think he's a guy that could be coached up by Van Pelt and McAdoo and these guys. And it would be at a much lesser price tag. You would have a chance to approach what Baker does at a much less cost. So that would be something that I would explore, that if the Commanders are going with Jaden Daniels at two, maybe I flip them a pick for Sam Howell, get Jacoby Brissett, get Drake May, and then I sort of go on from there.
Yeah, I'm not willing to give up draft compensation for Sam Howell. You know, he kind of fell off last year, turned the football over a bunch. He could work, you know, he could work and develop and be a good quarterback, good backup quarterback, but I don't want to give up the asset. I'd rather sign Jacoby Brissett for just the money. You've got plenty of money. Bring in a veteran guy, someone who's been there before, who can help guide May. So I would rather lean towards that. But look, beggars can't be choosers. If you don't get Brissett and you need a body and you need to bring somebody in and you can flip a late pick for Howell, then I think you have, you know, worse options out there. All right, before we move on to Drake May, because I know you got some thoughts on Drake May, Greg. As far as positional urgency, what do you think Elliott Wolf does right off the bat to start this free agency period? What positions is he kind of honing in on?
Yeah, one of my first priorities is locking up at least a tackle. Hopefully it's Owenu and another tackle. If I get Owenu and, you know, like you said, guard or tackle, at least your options are open. I mean, if you sign him to a big money contract, he's got to play where you want him to play, and he will. I mean, if you pay him $18 million a year, he's probably being a tackle. But I think they will show a lot of interest in Tyron Smith. Jonah Williams is another guy. Smith actually might make a lot more sense given his injury history and his age, where I don't think it'll take a multi-year contract. It could be 1 or 2 years at sort of lesser money. And that guy, when he's right, There are a few still better in the game at left tackle. So I am moving hard on that. Like we said in the last pod, I would kick the tires on Mekhi Becton just to keep my options open. And at the Vikings, like I mentioned, Oli Uda, a name to keep in mind as sort of a similar to Calvin Anderson type guy that could be a starter for you at right tackle if push comes to shove. But I know some teams like him as sort of a lower level prospect at tackle. And then edge and free safety are the other two spots where I'm moving hard. Wide receiver, I'd be in on Calvin Ridley, but at edge, Danielle Hunter, Bryce Huff that we talked about last time, Za'Darius Smith, who the Packer people have some familiarity with. And, you know, Van Ginkle out of Miami is sort of one of those guys who could cover you in a bunch of different spots. I'm not saying you bring him in to be a no-doubt starter on the edge, but a good guy to have, good locker room guy. At free safety, Xavier McKinney I would be on, Jordan Fuller, Jordan Whitehead. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a guy I would aggressively pursue at free safety. He's had some injury issues, maybe sort of lessens his price tag. One thing I wanted to mention looking through the list, like Kevin Byard's out there. He's a little bit older, but it's amazing what has happened to Jeremy Chinn with the Panthers, who was a similar draft pick to Kyle Duggar. Yeah. I think he might have been taken after Duggar. And Chinn hit first. He was like a Pro Bowler, mentioned with All Pro. Then they suddenly changed schemes, and he's fallen off the map. And I see him on the free agency list as like 1 year and $3 million. Like, sorry, I'd rather have Jeremy Chinn at 1 year, $3 million than Kyle Duggar at 1 year, 13. But similar players.
Yeah, wide receiver one. If you can lock down Calvin Ridley, I think it's a great first step of your free agency period. Tackle, I'm with you on that. Interestingly enough, I think a lot of people believe, you know, Tyron Smith might cost you a lot of money. No, I don't think so at all. When you look at the contractual projections out there, I saw 1 year, $10 million for Smith. I saw 1 year, $7.5 million for Smith. A to Z Sports did something. They had 2 years at $25 million. I think that's the very, very high end. I don't think it's outrageous to believe that you could sign Smith to like a 1 year, $10 million deal or a 2 year, you know, $22 million deal with incentives in that second year. So I don't think he's going to cost you a ton. And he's a second team All Pro who played 14 games last year. I get the injury history, but if it wasn't for the injury history, you'd have to pay a bunch of money. That's how this works. Tight end, you know, if Hunter Henry is far apart in negotiations, you got to figure out tight end. And I'm with you on free safety.
Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and what I get, the keto meals. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. There's no prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. So what happens is they send this ridiculous box with absurd ice packs and stuff like that. The guy, the stuff is still frozen through. And I got to tell you, the meals, I know people don't like this stuff. I was kind of like, I'm telling you, the meals are delicious. And you just have to pop them in the microwave. I did the oven and the microwave, but really at the end of the day, it all tastes the same. Pop it in the microwave for 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, it's delicious. The sauces that they use on it, I don't know how they do it, but I had the turkey chili and zucchini the other day. Oh, the flavor was off the charts. I mean, you guys got to take advantage of this meal. Just try it once. I'm telling you, it's one of these great things where if you want to eat healthy, you don't have the time, you're busy like us doing different stuff, covering a football team, like having Factor in your freezer or in your refrigerator, just it's a lot of peace of mind. So head to factormeals.com/Bedard50. That's factormeals.com/Bedard50 and use code Bedard50 to get 50% off. That's code Bedard50 at factormeals.com/Bedard50 to get 50% off. Just try it. Trust me, you'll really like it.
All right, so there's your free agency primer. But Greg, you said something earlier in the pod that caught my attention. You've dug in a little bit more into the film, watch these guys as you get ready for the draft. And Drake May has you asking some questions, huh?
Yeah, to know what the Patriots might be doing in the draft or in free agency, you have to know what they might be thinking in terms of the draft. Now, I don't know what they're thinking. Nobody does. But I at least wanted to get a feel for the top three quarterbacks. And Caleb Williams, in my mind, he's clearly number one in a tier by himself. Clearly the best guy, a franchise guy, no matter what you think about him off the field, stuff like that. That'll have to be checked out. But in terms of his play, he's unbelievable. He really is. To me, Jaden Daniels is clearly by himself in tier two. Certainly things that you have to look at with his size, whether he wants to play outdoors in the Northeast, like all that stuff, you have to take that stuff into consideration. But in terms of his ability from the pocket to deliver the football, it's elite down the field. I wouldn't say he's an elite passer or anything like that. To me, he's more talented than Lamar Jackson was coming out. His running ability is unbelievable. So he's elite throwing the ball down the field. He needs some development as far as a quarterback playing within the scheme and throwing in the ball in the middle of the field, intermediate, all that stuff. But in terms of his ability in the pocket to deliver the ball down the field and his running ability, it's elite. And to me, it would be a guy that I would take in the top three picks. Now, after that is the big question. And up until this moment, the most I really saw of Drake May was highlight film stuff. And if you watch the highlight films, you're like, holy crap, this guy is possibly Josh Allen, that type of talent. But I watched three games of him, the coach's film. Man, there are a lot of concerns. Now, I don't know what went on at UNC last year, and apparently word on the street is his 2022 film is really good. I haven't gotten there yet. The draft is in April. I'll get to it in April. I'll do more of a deep dive in April. But when I came away from it, and I have heard some of the chatter from Chris Sims, Dan Orlovsky, Greg Cosell, league sources about how, like, you know, there's a lot that this guy has to work on and he might have to sit. After watching his film, there's no doubt in my mind that he has to sit at least 1 year, if not multiple years. His footwork's terrible. His motion needs work. He drifts in the pocket. He's not elevated in terms of anticipation, recognizing coverages, recognizing how to attack defenses. Again, he's very young. He's 21 years old. So that'll come in time. To me, and I'm not saying these guys are the same players. They're not. But to me, and I went back and I looked at my evaluation when I was at Sports Illustrated, he reminds me a lot of Blake Bortles coming out. Very talented. Physically, Blake Bortles was bigger, thicker, but similar type of guys, but very unrefined. And basically my draft evaluation of Blake Bortles was he has to sit. And now, so what do you do with that guy? Where do you draft that guy? And that's the question I think the Patriots have to be asking. If you think he's going to be a guy in a year, do you still draft him at three? Could it take 2 years? You know, Orlovsky says the Jordan Love plan, or even you could say the Aaron Rodgers plan, which, you know, is akin to Elliott Wolf and what he has seen with the Packers. Yeah, the difference is those guys were late round, first round picks. So you could sort of do anything you want. Remember, Blake Bortles, the Jaguars drafted Blake Bortles at three, and people were stunned that that happened. But also remember, Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, the GM and the head coach at the time of the Jaguars, both of them came out and said, Blake Bortles is sitting for his first year, at least. That is the plan. That's what we're going to do. We have Chad Henne as the bridge guy. That's what we're going to do. Guess what happened? They start off 0-3. They put Blake Bortles in. He doesn't have a great year. They're 3-11. Now, he does go to a point in a run-based offense, a defensive-based team, where they got to the AFC Championship game against the Patriots in a game they probably should have won. However, because Blake Bortles never got those things figured out, get those things corrected with his footwork, with his vision, understanding of the game, they rushed him into it. He never got to that possibly elite level that he could get to. And he was out of the year after he was out of the league after 6 years. And so to me, I see Drake May very similar. It all depends on what your philosophy is. Are you okay drafting a guy at three and absolutely putting him in a straitjacket and not playing him for a year? Are you okay with that? Okay, fine. You might think about doing that. If you're not, I don't know how you can draft Drake May at three. And you just You have to avoid the Bortles thing, but I see them very similar where they were. And it'll be very interesting to see how teams, including the Patriots, decide on what to do with them.
He is so polarizing. You know, you hear people that are saying the same things that you're saying, Greg. Others love the projection, love the talent, believe he's going to be.
I love the talent.
Yeah, a top eight quarterback in the league. If, you know, if you can figure that footwork out and the drifting out and all those things that you brought up, the elongated motion from time to time when he throws the football. Very polarizing guy. I said earlier, I'm okay with sitting him for a year if that's what you've got to do. If you think that he can be that guy, I couldn't care less. Like 2024, how many games you're going to win anyway? If you're telling me in 2025 he's going to be ready after some work, then I'm in on that. I will say this in closing, you know, all the reports about May during the combine week smelled a little fishy to me. It was almost too much. You know, the Patriots talking about him, especially the Patriots stuff. And I just wonder if the Patriots are trying to sell people on Drake May because they really want Jaden Daniels, or they're trying to pump Drake May's tires because they want to trade that third pick if May is the one that falls to them at three. It just felt like there was a little bit too much about, oh man, Drake May, he won the room. He was incredibly impressive. I don't know how you can't draft him at three. It felt like it was a little bit too much pomp and circumstance behind him. We'll see. You got a lot of the process left to get through, of course, as we always say. All right, I want to remind you, this podcast is brought to you by Prize Picks, largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Prize Picks, easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And don't forget to check out Greg and Company at BSJ, $50 for the year. They do great work. All right, we got free agency coming up. We'll be back early next week to recap what the Patriots did during the legal tampering period. Until then, be well.